Amen. I like to hear you guys get excited, especially when it has to do with Jesus. Amen. If you can't get excited about that, I don't know if there's anything that can excite you about Jesus. All right. Christ is risen. Now, that's kind of this call and response that we're accustomed to on Easter. I say Christ is risen, and you say he is risen indeed. So let's try it again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is. What a day to rejoice together. It's a beautiful day today. Praise the Lord. Last week, our cry was Hosanna as Jesus enters into Jerusalem. That title of Hosanna is that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Our salvation has come. Praise the Lord. Today, our cry is hallelujah. Jesus is alive. This morning, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the grave. We remember his words that he spoke in John chapter 2, verse 19. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Now, those that heard him that day thought Jesus was talking about that great and grand temple in Jerusalem. But the temple he was referring to was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. And this morning, we, this group of disciples right here, we recall Jesus' words. We remember him, not because we were there with him that day, but we remember him now because we have experienced him now. In our hearts, in our lives, in our minds. Intertwined in this verse in John chapter 2 is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Jesus is the one. Jesus the Son says this, destroy this temple. And we know that we, all of us, we in our hearts, in our soul, in our mind, in our bodies, in our strength, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus speaks, the Holy Spirit fills. And we know that it is Jesus speaking, and we tend to say that it is God the Father who will raise Jesus from the dead. But in verse 19, Jesus says, "I will raise it again." It sounds like Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit are one, and we believe that they are. Praise God the Father. Praise God the Son. Praise God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ did just what he said. He was raised to new life on the third day. And so we gather this morning with joy and with new life that's our own. Let's hear the story once again from the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Take a Bible and turn there, or perhaps you just want to hear the words of the story and let the words sink in as you meditate on them. At the hearing of these words. But Mark chapter 16, the very last chapter of the book, and it's about Jesus' resurrection. I'll pick up in verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. But more than that, may God bless us as his word comes into our lives and takes root as we seek to understand it and receive it today. In verse 7 of the passage that I just read, it says, "But go and tell his disciples and Peter." Now, we understand that Mark, who's one of the early followers of Jesus, he wasn't a disciple, but he was a disciple of Peter, as tradition tells us. And it's interesting to me how Mark would have recorded what Peter was relaying to him. And Peter acknowledges that there was something about his denial of Christ. You remember that part of the story? Where Peter is kind of hanging around outside of where Jesus is being put on trial and being judged and punished. And Peter's outside of the building there. And there are others that have gathered around. And they look at Peter and they say, "Aren't you one of his followers?" And Peter denies it. He says, "No way, I don't know the man." And Peter does that three times. And so in his denial, I think that for Peter, he felt like that he had lost his place with Jesus. And it's fascinating that it's not until you get to the Gospel of John that John records Peter's restoration, that what Jesus does is he kind of puts his arm back around Peter and he welcomes him back into his place as a disciple. And it means a lot to me because I know what it feels like to feel like that I've messed up too bad. And that I've kind of lost my place, as it were. Not so much lost my salvation. I don't know that we can lose our salvation. But that I've lost my place in terms of my closeness to the Lord. And this just tells me that even though Peter felt that way, the reality is that Jesus came back to him and brought him back. And what that tells me is this: there is nothing that you can do. It doesn't matter how messed up it is, how bad it is, how bad people condemn you, or honestly, how bad the consequences are of what you or I do. There's nothing that we can do that will keep Jesus from putting his arm back around us and bringing us back to him. And that is one of the tremendous truths about Jesus Christ. And honestly, if it was just believing an old story about a man, a God-man who raised from the dead and walked out of a tomb and left it empty, if it was just a story, I don't know if that would be enough. The simple fact of the matter is that testifies to the fact that Jesus is alive and well is that he is experienced by us. We experience him. We experience forgiveness. We experience his embrace of us at a much deeper level than just our physical bodies, in just this physical world. And so this story really speaks to me, and perhaps it speaks to you as well today. The Heavenly Father's new life was breathed into Jesus, into his dead body, as he rose from death to new life on the third day. Jesus said it would happen, and it did. Now I have to tell you, I have to confess, at this point of the story, I believe it, every detail of it. I don't try to explain it as allegorical or just something that's symbolic that can have meaning to us today. I believe this story, and I believe that it displays the very power of God, perhaps the greatest power of God, and that is to create life. And Jesus is brought back to life. Jesus said it. He said it would happen, and it did. His coming back to life after being dead was the greatest demonstration of God's power. And what is this power that God has? God's life that he gave to Jesus and that he gives to us wins out over sin and death. It wins out over the death that sin brings in our lives and in the world that we live in. It wins over the damage and devastation and death and the curse of sin. and the death that goes along with it. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This power of life that God demonstrates is at work even today, giving new life, to all who would seek it, and to all who would receive it. That's an important truth today. This great power that God demonstrates, this miracle of new life that only God gives to people like you and me, it has to be sought, and it has to be received. For me, this is what is most lacking as I work with people of all ages and backgrounds today: the seeking and the receiving. Now, we can make a long list of probably some good reasons why people stop seeking God. For some, let's be honest, there's just no inclination at all for God. He doesn't fit into their cosmos, into their worldview. There's just no inclination toward God at all. For some, it's no knowledge. I'm working with teenagers. I say teenagers, actually younger than teenagers. Jack, our student pastor, works with the teenagers, but I'm working with the younger kids. And I encounter children who have no knowledge of God. For some, this inclination, having no inclination for God, is an issue of knowledge. They just don't know anything about God or about Jesus Christ or about the story that we tell about Jesus in this world. For some, it's no interest. This idea of God just doesn't fit into kind of an educated worldview, I guess. There's no interest at all. For some, the seeking has stopped because of a disappointing or devastating experience with a church or with a pastor. I have to tell you, that reality, it really nauseates me as a minister, that there are people who are turned away from God because of a devastating or damaging experience or disappointing experience that they've had with a church or with a pastor. For others, the interest and enticements of work and play or wealth seem to occupy all the bandwidth of their lives, and they have nothing left over for seeking God. This may be you today. Honestly, if you were honest with yourself and with me or with whoever, you might would have to be honest and say, I'm really not looking for God. I'm not seeking. If this is you, I'd like to recommend that you take a look within you and that you consider giving some space in your life to Jesus Christ. For others, the seeking of God is nothing more than practicing a religion. Traditions of the church and rituals in a worship service serve to pacify some of that seeking for God. That's what makes Christmas and Easter two of the biggest days for people to attend a religious service. If this is you, know that keeping traditions or rituals will never be a substitute for God Himself or for the new life that God gives. It was never really meant to substitute for God Himself. Keeping rituals and traditions are no substitute for the new life that God gives. Not through religious activity, but through personal relationship with God. That is really where new life is found, is when you begin to understand that God is not about religion. He's about relationship. And He wants a relationship with you and with me and frankly with every person that he has ever created or ever will. He just simply loves us to death. And he wants a relationship with us. The Apostle Paul wrote to the early Christians in first century Rome, and he said, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Paul knew something about a new life. He encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus as he was going to persecute the early church. At that time, he was known as Saul, and he was a Pharisee. And when he met Jesus, it's almost as if that former life of his, Saul the Pharisee, died right there on that road to Damascus when he met Jesus. And he was raised to new life, born again to new life. So much so that he changed his name from Saul to Paul. From Saul the Pharisee to Paul, the bondservant of Jesus. That is what Jesus Christ came for. That is why he lived and died. And that is the power that brought him back to life 3 days later, that we, as just like Paul, may live a new life. Born again to new life, that is what today can be for you and for me. If you've not really been seeking God, today can be a day that new desire is born in you. You see, sometimes I think, and perhaps most of the time I think, that God just drops a little bit of desire in our hearts for him. And that we just really can't ignore it. He just kind of keeps at us until we start paying attention to him. And we begin to set ourselves to the side so that we can begin to pursue him. Some of you have started that pursuit. For some of you, God has dropped a whole new kind of desire in you. And you want more and more of the Lord. You want to know him more and more. You want to experience him more and more. But if you've not really been seeking God, today can be a day that new desire is born in you. If you've been falling back on just simply religious activity, today can be a day that new passion for Jesus Christ can be born in you. If you're a seeker of Jesus already, and nobody and nothing can get in your way, you're just kind of in hot pursuit of him. Well, today is a day when even more devotion can be born in you. Even more devotion. So I'm pretty fired up about the Lord. Well, I want to tell you, there's even more. There's even more of Christ in us. And that devotion can turn into red hot zeal. So, which is it for you? And what will it be for you? There is new life that is available to you, but you must choose it. Each of us must choose it. It does not just come to us because we are. We must choose Jesus and his new life. We must choose it. And friends, we must seek it. We must seek it. We must choose it, we must desire it, we must seek it. And when you seek Jesus Christ full on, you will find him. And you will find him to be for you. You will find him to be more alive than you have ever thought could be possible. You will find him to be more alive in you. And perhaps there was a time when Jesus Christ was really more fully alive in you than he is today. And maybe there's been a falling away, perhaps. Or just other things have come in to occupy your bandwidth and you just don't have much to give to the Lord in seeking him today. Well, if you seek him, my friend, you'll find him. He will be found by us. I have to warn some of us now. It's not always just about us seeking the Lord. The Lord is seeking some of you. And he will find you. And he's not going to find you to punish you or to condemn you. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. No, he's looking for you. He's after you to find you because he desires you. And he wants you to be a part of his work and his way in this world. So, on this Easter Sunday, March 31st, 2024, what will it be for you? Which is it for you? Once again, Jesus' invitation is right here before us again today. Will you follow me? Let's pray. Jesus, we remember and we celebrate and we believe that after the third day that you died, you rose again to new life. And you walked out of a dead man's tomb, fully alive, by the power of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, today may your word speak to each of us, and might you give us a sense of how new life can be born in each of us. Lord, I'll tell you myself, I need some new life in me, Lord, to be born again in me. That doesn't mean that I'm not a Christian and that I need to become saved again, but Lord, it just means that there are parts of my life that need to be born anew unto you. There are others in this room today that perhaps you're speaking to their hearts and they feel like that there's something that they feel drawn to do, to respond in some way. I want to tell you, don't ignore that sense within you. Don't ignore it, even though you may not be able to understand it. I can tell you that any time that someone feels moved in some way, that it's the Holy Spirit, not the pastor. And sometimes people are moved in ways that aren't always positive, and sometimes people are moved in ways that are positive. And you know, maybe that's always the Holy Spirit, one way or the other. But listen, pay attention to it, and seek him. Seek the Lord. Jesus says this, and I'll close with this. When he was teaching people about himself and about God the Father, he was telling them how to pray, and he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And so I suppose I would utter those words to us today. What are you asking for of God? Ask and you will receive. What are you seeking as it relates to God? Well, seek and you will find him. And I guess the last thing I would ask is this. What door are you knocking on that you are just dying for it to open for you? If you'll be knocking on that door that leads to the Lord, he'll open it and you'll find him. And he'll welcome you in. And he'll present before you the life that he has for you in all of its fullness. Lord, to that end, we give ourselves to you today. And we pray, Lord, that we would have eyes to see how it is that you are being born to new life in us. How is it, Lord, that you are wanting to bring into our lives and to cause to be born again in our lives your new life? May it be so, Lord. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.